This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Boys, it's bonus coverage time here. No video, so you can just, like, you know, kick back, relax.
I got to
not
worry
about this. And listen, if you found this, even if you listened to us over on VSiN, good on you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming back. And you're going to get some additional commentary here on some of these golfers we didn't have time to get to under the time constraints of a television program that we weren't able to get to. One of those guys is Brooks Koepka, right? And so Brooks Koepka, we know the story. This guy goes out and all he does is play well in majors. But Wes, I'm a data guy, right? And so I don't like doing the whole gut feeling if I don't have to. Of course, when we bet some of these other tournaments where we don't have tons of stats, we do have to go off of gut. But we're starting to get some of these live stats now. We're starting to get some of these things, and you look in, and how much do we buy into the narrative of Brooks doesn't care about anything other than majors? And how much do we buy into the fact that if we do actually look at the raw numbers, he's not coming in the best form here? And it's like the odds now, where Kelly, you had this ridiculous number on Brooks Koepka last year.
90-1 or something.
Yeah. Now it seems like the pendulum has swung almost too far to where it's 18-1 and a guy that's coming in again and just like, okay, certainly not good for him.
Well, obviously the LIV players as a whole played a lot better last year. Brooks, obviously. Yeah. Patrick Reed, who finished top five. Phil Mickelson shot 65 on a Sunday and finished T2, for God's sakes. So you're not getting the bargains that you were getting there, because now at least you have more tournaments with LIV. And then with Brooks, too, most specifically, you're already getting the Brooks and Majors discount. The price has already been discounted. Like, in terms of his true odds, what should he be? Maybe like 30-1?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Now you're at 20 because we saw what he did at the PGA at Oak Hill. But if you look so far this year, he was T5 at Mayakoba, top 12 in Vegas and at Jeddah, 28th in Hong Kong, and then T45 last week in Doral. So that Doral finish probably is an outlier, you know, so I'm not looking too much into that. But it's not like he's been right there.
Yeah.
Every single week on LIV, like, you know, Neiman has, or like John Rahm has, or some of these other cats.
Yeah, Kelly, you look at this guy that has 5 major wins, right?
Yeah.
And is going for 6, puts him in rarefied air if he gets to 6 major wins. But again, he doesn't play well in other tournaments. So, like, do we put stock in what we've seen with him as being like, oh, okay, he'll magically show up at Augusta because that's just what happens? Or Do we buy into that? You and I we're stats guys. We're numbers guys.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that he should be 18-1.
I mean, okay, so here's the thing, though. Even when he was on the PGA Tour, I think we could have said that, right? Like, there were times.
But at least he was playing more.
At least
he played more often.
He was playing more, which, yes, I think that's a bigger thing to me, right? Is in which also, that really spreads across to almost all these LIV guys, right? Where I think I mean, Wes, you brought up, you know, the 30-1 or whatever. Just to meet my immediate reaction to that is I don't know how I would feel that properly pricing almost all of these LIV guys now that we're this far removed from so many of them playing on the PGA Tour, us not getting to see them play on a week in and week out basis, not playing 4 rounds of golf. I think it'd be really, really hard to price almost any of these guys accurately. So I will say I'm pretty much ignoring. I don't think you can ignore what Joaquin Neiman has done so far on the tour, especially when he left the PGA Tour. He was one of the hottest up and comers on the PGA Tour.
He was the guy we were talking about week in, week out, right?
I was betting him a bunch. Yeah. So I understand there's interest there. I have left room on my outright card for the possibility of jumping in live on 3 guys if they falter off the top, maybe rainy conditions. That is Scottie Scheffler and then two LIV guys. John Rahm and Brooks Koepka. John Rahm, I think he's still close enough from the PGA Tour play that he's a guy that I could be very interested in. And Brooks, I do think we talk about the value of live betting all the time, but this is the opportunity you get. If you're like me and you don't have a great feel for some of these LIV guys right now, watch them. And at Brooks's current price, he's the one guy, as compared to Rahm and Scheffler, that I'm actually willing to watch play a round or two, and maybe I'm jumping in at worse odds than what he's at right now, 18-1, 20-1, because if I see him through 2 rounds up there near, you know, up there with the rest of the guys, you know, hanging that top 30 range on the leaderboard, yeah, he's a guy that I might be interested in jumping in on live. All the rest of the live guys for me, not even really a thought.
Yeah, Wes, the only guy that the very first thing I did was just write off, and I'm curious as to your thought. Look, Cam Smith was the first dude that, of all these guys that when they signed with Liv, like the older dudes I knew, hey, you're going to get a paycheck. I get it. Like, you know, whatever. You weren't going to be able to compete anyway. Rom, it's a paycheck, sure, but he's certainly still one of the best in the world. We could say the same thing about Koepka or Niemann or even Bryson, who's been playing well. But Cam Smith was always that guy you hear, and we're just going off of stuff that we hear. We're not on the PGA Tour. We're not insiders or anything. But the dude that, like, played golf because it provided money, but not necessarily because he liked it or loved it, really. Mm-hmm. And like, you heard that what he really loved was getting on his boat and going fishing and all. Like, it wasn't golf. He wasn't a golf nerd. He wasn't this dude. It was almost like he did it just because he was good at it.
Yeah.
And so now that he doesn't have to be incredibly good at it, I think there probably is some of that creeps in to a guy like that. And so for me at 50-1, I mean, I know it's a huge number for a dude that 3 years ago would have been 18-1, yeah, you know, or whatever, but I just can't get there with him.
Yeah, I had him when he was runner-up to DJ. Yeah. He was about 125-1, where he was the first guy to ever shoot four rounds in the 60s at the Masters, still lost by five.
Yeah.
That was the November 2020 Masters during COVID. But, yeah, Smith, he did withdraw from Doral last week because he had the food poisoning.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's drifted out. And this is a guy, by the way, and the reason why he's been successful here is because he's always all over the place off the tee. But he's so damn good, I think, with that short game and those pitch shots. And we saw it. That's why he won the Open Championship at St. Andrews a couple years ago. But, yeah, Smith didn't really interest me this week either. There's a, you know, couple other LIV guys that, like, what Kelly, you were saying about all weight on, like, Koepka or somebody. Maybe that's me with Dustin Johnson because I still feel like this guy has greatness left in him.
And you know
somewhere.
He's done it before. Sure, yes. I understand that.
But man, you know, and just some weeks it's hit or miss because I think he's pretty happy with his life. He's happy with his wife and his children.
As
and
he should be.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Just watch Full Swing. Watch Full Swing if you don't want to begrudge him of that.
Yeah. But you know, I would think he's going to be motivated here. That doesn't mean he's going to necessarily play well, but look, he's a guy that's just kind of always there, and you've always got to look at him as a factor because he's not an old guy by any stretch, even though he's in his late 30s. I still think he's got good in him, but yeah, I didn't know what to do with him. I'm very neutral on Dustin Johnson.
Two other big-name guys, and then we'll let you guys out of here. Again, thanks for listening to the bonus coverage here of Long Shots. Victor Hovland, a guy that goes and wins the championship last year, the Tour Championship last year. But since winning that Tour Championship, guys, 2024, been pretty rough. He's like, he's making cuts, but never contending. And you start to look, and it's like T22, T58, T19, T36, T62. And one of the things we always used to point out on this podcast when we were talking about Victor Hovland, we were like, yeah, man, but guy, he's so bad around the greens. He's just so terrible around the greens. And then something happened last year, and he remedied it a little bit. Well, now you open up the stats from 2024, and you look, he's back to losing around the green like horribly, including 6.8 strokes around the green at the Players just a month ago, you know, in mid-March. And so I just don't think the odds are indicative of where his game is right now. And so I just can't get there. A guy that's just struggling so, so bad in multiple facets. It'd be different if it was just one thing, but his approach game isn't all that sharp either.
A lot of swing changes.
Yeah. So I just can't get there. And I know there's gonna be a lot of people go like, hey, there's gotta be value on a guy. And maybe there is. And he is certainly one of the best players in the world and maybe can turn it around in a couple of weeks off. Cause he hadn't played in a couple of weeks either. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like he's decided to do nothing but practice. He didn't want to go get any of these warm-up rounds in. Kelly, I don't know if you considered him at all or whatever. It's just it's one of those deals where if we're going on form alone, form is not
there. I just listed him with four other guys that I would not be shocked
if they won.
I would not be stunned.
Yes,
if any of these five guys won the Masters, yet I will not be betting on any of them because of everything you just said. And a lot of these guys fall in the same category. Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Max Homa. Except for the bet I put in on Justin Thomas like two months ago. My point is, as of this week, there's no, like, And Wes, I know you bet Cantlay, right? Or you're looking to bet Cantlay because of the price.
Considering.
Because of the price.
Because he's almost 50 to 1.
Right, yeah. And if you want to say you're Max Homa 45 to 1, Colin Morikawa 40 to 1, I get it. Those are long numbers. And if that's your reasoning, I understand it. But man, as far as what you've seen from these guys consistently over the past couple months, they just kind of take them out of the running for me.
Yeah, and just looking at that, Cantlay, you know, sometimes when the guys drift, there's a reason why they drift. Like you pointed out, Matt, about Victor Hovland, there's a lot of reasons why he's drifted up. Max Homa, who you mentioned, Kelly, by the way, is paired with Tiger Woods. I think Jason Day is the third member of that pairing. I think those guys, like it always used to be the guys you wanted to bet against when they were paired with Tiger because of the fear factor. Mm-hmm. Now I wonder, it's like, man, seeing him struggle, does that affect you mentally?
Right.
And maybe that could for a Max Homa. Certainly, you know, it has in the past for Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, when it's like you're seeing like the hero of this generation, this golfing generation, and he's out there just struggling, you know, like that old fighter that, you know, is a little past his prime. So, yeah, I'd be skirting Max Homa too. One thing I do want to mention here, just to deviate from this a little bit, because we did have some injury news.
Okay.
This regarding Minwoo Lee, who we all regard as a very talented player that certainly has the game, I think, to eventually win major championships. Broke his right index finger on Saturday, dropping a 20-pound dumbbell on it. So
right,
broke
then.
His right index finger. He said he's been able to play 9 holes on a Tuesday without pain, but Minwoo Lee dealing with an injury issue, so maybe to keep in mind for placements or matchups.
Gonna guess. He wasn't on the card anyway, but like broken finger sounds like, I'm out.
Yeah, it sounds like he's out. I'm just trying to figure out how you drop a 20-pound dumbbell onto your fingers.
You know, who knows? Who knows?
I don't know either.
What was going on there with that? I mean, I did see an interview yesterday with Akshay Bhatia, who we know injured his shoulder celebrating his putt that he made.
The full Gramatica.
But said that he should be fine and everything's going to be okay.
Thought that was an interesting conversation. Wes and I were on with Gil earlier on the Beat in the Book pod. And we were talking about that with Sia Najad. Sia Najad, who same thing, has like shoulders that pop in and out. So he was actually talking about, apparently this is a thing for Bhatia as well. So he's really not concerned about it. I was saying he was a guy that, you know, I had circled last week. You obviously hit a winner on. I kind of had circled for this week, but crossed him off after that. After that happened, just because I'm worried about that getting that flaring up. But I will say, Sia Najad, who we all respect, was like, "I'm not really worried about it." So thought that was interesting. Wanted to bring up one thing with you guys. We hit on this heavy a couple weeks ago. Are you considering? And I'm guessing because none of us really bet this way, or none of us said we bet this way. Winner without Scottie Scheffler markets, or winner without. I think I saw Scheffler, Rahm, McIlroy at places. Is that something that you'd be recommending this week or not really?
If somebody told me they were going to do it, I wouldn't talk them off a ledge. I mean, like, it's, again, it's a 89-person field that's really like 60 people.
Yep.
So inside that 60 is those three guys who have a very high win equity between the three of them. And so if you wanted to go that direction, I don't think it's the craziest thing.
Yeah, I think it depends on who you're,
on the price,
you're
right,
wanting
exactly.
to target
yeah.
with. Like if you're wanting to bet Rory McIlroy, just bet him
just bet
in
Rory,
the width market
yes, yeah.
because the price is so short. Mm-hmm. Same with Rahm and those guys.
Yeah, I didn't specifically do anything that week, but I think it's something that we dug into that a couple weeks ago and wouldn't be shocked at all if that's a thing we're thinking about more on Sunday.
Well, comparatively, like if you want to take a longer shot guy, compare the top five price to the winner without market.
Correct.
And then maybe you end up on a much, much better number in the winner without market or vice versa or whatever it might be.
And this is also like the biggest, if you're ever considering these markets, right, this is the biggest reason why you have to have as many sports books available basically to you as possible, because just shop around. Like you guys are saying, there are times where I've seen winner without market. If you're looking at guys 25 to one, he'd be 25 to one at one sports book, just as an outright 25 to one in another with the winner without. And then it's kind of a no brainer at that point.
One thing to mention too, placement markets as well. You're talking about, you know, betting. I think what is Scottie Scheffler like to finish top 10, like -$2 is basically the consensus. By the way, and we mentioned this oftentimes on Long Shots, you know, when you're betting these placement markets, the best place is obviously to bet are the whiff ties, where you get paid paid out on dead heats. I know BetMGM does that. A couple others. DraftKings is doing that this week,
yes,
where they are paying out ties, I believe, just for the 10s and the 20s and the top fives. I don't know if they're going with the 30s and 40s, but we asked Matt Eumanns and I on our regular program, Visa Tonight, asked John Avello and said that they're going to try to do that a little bit more. Now, didn't commit to saying that's going to be every week, but, you know, certainly that makes a big difference if you're getting dead heat payouts with this and not having to be chopped, you know, five ways on a top 20 where you're making like pennies on the dollar. So take advantage of that. And, you know, you may be getting a little bit less on the price, but
it's worth
it. I'd rather pay the discount and be able to get paid out the full placement.
Yeah, I think that's when you're always got to kind of shop around, make your own decision how much more you're willing to pay for that. But it's 98% of the ones that I'm making are ties pay in full. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I think for the casual golf bettor out there, just take that headache out of the equation.
Guys, as we mentioned, you can catch Wes and Kelly after the cut, so be sure and tune in for that. Some more additional commentary coming down your podcast feed tomorrow as well. Be sure, if you are out there in one of these DraftKings legal markets, it's Masters Week. They're going to give you bonuses. They're going to give you boosts.
Yeah, use
they're
those
gonna
boosts give you, on some of these futures.
Like, use the boosts in these futures. Take, if you like Rom, take Rom from 11 to 15 or 14 or whatever it is and all. Like, be sure you take advantage and use all of these because, one, we're jealous we don't get them. So, we don't get them in the first place. But this is the time to do it on these outrights. Be sure and make sure you're getting as big a payout as you can should your ticket get home. Appreciate you joining us here on the bonus coverage of Long Shots. If you haven't done so already, go in, hit that subscribe button. Do appreciate that. For Wes, for Kelly, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your Masters bets.